Well, I'm so excited that you're here to join me for Voice of Breakthrough, this podcast. So we are going to hit some powerful topics. Every single week, we will be having a new podcast with a new topic. So get ready. I'm telling you, this is great to exercise to. This is powerful to listen to when you're cleaning your house or cooking that dinner or cutting the grass, but you can turn up loud on your little iPhone or whatever you have there. Anyway, you're going to love this powerful, life-changing, every single week podcast of Voice of Breakthrough. So let's first go to Matthew 6, and we'll start around verse 12. You all know I'm looking at you like, I can't preach this fast. All right, I'm going to preach it fast because I have to, because I've got to stay in my hour. Matthew 6, and Jesus is telling us how to pray. How many know if God is telling us how to talk to our Heavenly Father, we ought to listen? And we have an entire teaching on that where we go detail to detail every single line, so we're not going to do that tonight. But let's just get to the part about forgiveness. All right, so we're to pray our Father who is in heaven. God is not into formulas, so he doesn't want you to memorize this and then just pray it. Amen? How many know tradition and religion has had us do that? No, he wants us to understand this. Like I said, we have teaching on this. I'm not going to do it tonight. I'll do it one other night. But it's recognizing who our Father is, okay? Our Father, it's recognizing where he is. Our Father who is in heaven. Great, glorious, wonderful, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done as it is in heaven on the earth. Give us today our daily bread. And here's the part we're going to get into tonight. And forgive us our debts as we also forgive those who our debtors, or trespass against us, or forgive us our sins, and forgive those who've sinned against us. And then he says, lead us not into temptation. If you do not forgive, you will be led into temptation. Unforgiveness stops your prayers from being answered. Unforgiveness is probably one of the greatest things that you can hold on to, or holding on to unforgiveness will totally, totally stop your Christian walk. And what's going to happen then? Bitterness. And why doesn't God answer my prayers? Why doesn't, and pretty soon you start changing who God is. Amen? Do not buy the lie that sometimes God is quiet and he's not talking to you. I mean, you've heard, you're going to go through the, what do they call it, deep, dark night of the soul or something. Just because they did, I'm not going to. Amen? I've gone through trials, but you know what? Right in the midst of the worst trials possible, God was talking to me the entire time. Amen? Amen? When God's not talking to you, he is talking to you. He doesn't hold grudges. He doesn't have issues. You're not hearing him. And you're not hearing him. And one of the things that will stop you from hearing God and walking with God is unforgiveness. And when you're not hearing God and walking with God, you will be tempted to fall back in sin and go back into the old things you used to do and the old pattern of sin. Amen? So we have to forgive. He said, but deliver us from the evil, for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory to the ages. Amen. Now, Matthew 6:14. And it's kind of interesting, after all these things that Jesus has taught us to pray, and like I said, anybody knows me, know I could preach a whole conference on those things. And we probably have, and you can get it on a teaching CD series. But he says, he comes right back after that prayer, and he goes back to forgiveness, doesn't he? He says, for if you forgive men their sins against you, then your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you will not forgive men their sins against you, neither will your Father forgive you. How many realize that's pretty big? How many realize like that is a major spiritual law that Jesus chose to make a really strong point about after he just told us how to pray? And so Jesus is really telling us, you have to forgive to be a Christian. You have to forgive to be a Christian. Now, I want to tell you something. And Greg has been around ministries and churches for years, and some of you, because of what God has done at Beauty for Ashes, and not just here, but anywhere where people really get into his word, it's amazing how people have learned to forgive and not judge. It's amazing how people can be in really painful, hurtful situations and actually still come together and not cause a big mess at church or in their family lives because they've learned how to forgive, and they've learned how not to blame people for what the enemy is doing in their lives. It's really quite amazing. We've gone through things as leaders in ministry where we thought, there is no way this is going to work. What's going to happen when this person and that big mess, and I'm talking big messes. I'm not even talking messes. I'm talking the, you know, kind of messes that they talk about in the Corinthian church, almost some of them. And I'm like, how on earth is this family going to still come together with this family after their kids did this or this thing happened or whatever? And God works it out. It's amazing because of people obeying his teaching and learning what that is, learning how to do this thing according to God's word, led by his spirit, okay? So it's not an option. If you're a Christian, you have to walk in forgiveness. It's not an option, okay? It's not an option. You're deceiving yourself if you're not walking in forgiveness. Now, how do you know if you've really forgiven everyone? When you really forgive someone, you can talk about them without that, ugh. And though you hate what happened to you, at their hands or their mouth or wherever, however they came against you, you hate what happened to you. You hate the sin. You hate how much it hurt. But when you really learn to separate the person from the sin and the spirit that caused the person to sin, when you separate the person from the spirit that caused them to sin, then you can forgive the person and put them in the hands of God, and you can hate the spirit and know that it's eternally damned that orchestrated or masterminded this evil. Amen? And we're going to talk about that a little more because it's so powerful. It's so powerful that at the end of tonight's session, we're actually going to do that, and then you guys are going to break up into groups and go deeper into that revelation and really make sure that you're forgiven. So let's see the next scriptures on forgiveness. So then we go to, in Matthew 18, he talks about how much do we forgive. And so it says, God is saying it again, Matthew 18, 19. I say to you, if two of you agree on earth as to anything, whatever you shall ask, it shall be to them from my Father in heaven. Now that's powerful when we get into some teaching on prayer, right? But we're not doing that tonight. Ugh, so hard. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. That's why we're encouraging people on Facebook Live, invite friends over and do this as a Bible study. Invite friends over and expect the Holy Spirit to come in as the teacher, to come in as the deliverer, to come in as the one to bring breakthrough, and really expect there to be a presence of God in a powerful way when you get together with other believers and you seek God for certain things, okay? And you're gathered together, here's the key, in his name, in his authority, with his presence, recognizing who he is. Then coming up to him, Peter says to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Seven times? I think Peter thought, boy, if you've studied Peter's personality, he probably thought, watch this. Lord, and he's probably looking at somebody who bugged him. You know, that he said, I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you. So he's like, Lord, how many times do I have to forgive somebody who sins against me? Seven? He's probably looking at the person like, wait for this. And Jesus said to him, I do not say just seven times, but 70 times seven. Now, some people would try to figure that out and figure how many times they can go at you. But that would take your entire day to absolutely irritate somebody and sin against them 70 times seven times. And so the Lord, I think, here is making more of a point than giving us a number to work towards. Although there are some people who try to work towards that number. Anyway, he says, and then he goes on and he talks about, we're going to get into all this. Because of this, the kingdom of heaven has been compared to a man who is a king who desired to take account with his slaves or his servants. And he began to reckon one debtor of 10,000 talents was brought near to him. But he not having any to repay, the Lord commanded him to be sold, also his wife and children, all things as much as he had to be paid back. Okay, I'm not going to get into all this. I'm just going to, or I guess I will. Let me just fast. Then having fallen down, the slave bowed his knee to him and saying, Lord, have patience with me. Let me pay you. I'll pay it all to you. And being filled with compassion or pity, the Lord of that servant released him and forgave him the loan. Okay, if you've been released, okay, I want to really put this out there for those who've gone bankrupt and those who've been released from money you owed. You really owed it, people. You really owed that money. And you were released from that through bankruptcy. You need to have a heart of gratitude. You need to have a heart to say, Lord, help me never, ever, ever get in that situation again. We're doing some financial teaching on Sunday afternoons for those who need to come to that, but which is everybody. But it's this thing to recognize, this isn't a little thing to owe somebody money. And Jesus is showing here in the kingdom, look, you owe that. You owe that to the place of, and this was in their culture, that they could take your wife and your children and put everybody in slavery. And most of the slavery you talk about in scripture had to do with people owing somebody something. Back then, you didn't just walk away and say, too bad. No, back then, they put you in labor to pay that off. And this person owed a whole lot to his king. He owed a whole lot to this king. And he owed so much that they were going to take his wife and his kids and send them off and put them into slavery. And what did this man? He begged, please, no. And God saw his heart, what? Towards his wife and his children. And God said, I'm going to forgive you this. I'm not going to hold this against you. And released him. But then having gone out, that slave, that same servant, found one of his fellow servants or slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, you better pay me now what you owe me. And the slave falls down at his feet and begs him, saying, please have patience with me and I will pay it all to you. But the servant, remember, this is the one who'd been forgiven much. But he would not. He wanted him thrown in prison until he paid back every penny. But his fellow slaves, seeing the things happening, they were greatly grieved. And having come to, they reported it to their Lord, everything that happened. So then having called near, the Lord says to him, you wicked servant or slave, I forgave you everything because you begged me and you asked me to. Should not you have mercy on your fellow slaves or servants, as I had mercy on you? And being angry, his Lord delivered him up to the tormentors until he would pay back all the debt that's owed to him. Unforgiveness. Let me see this. When you do not do unto others what Jesus Christ has done for you, you open the door for tormentors. When you do not do to others what Jesus Christ has done for you, which is forgive, which is release, which is to make a way through mercy, then you are turned over to torment. So where there's torment going on inside of you, check and make sure that you've really, really walked in forgiveness. Make sure that you don't have this greed, I'm going to get you, you owe me attitude going on inside of your heart. Amen? That would cause you to be turned over to the tormentors. There's so much teaching in here. There's so much teaching in God's word, isn't there? There's so much. Oh, I love it. I could really have fun probably preaching all day. Matthew 18:35. This is a spiritual law. Jesus says, so also my heavenly Father will do to you unless each of you from your hearts forgive his brother his sins against you. Okay, what does this just tell us? As a believer, if you don't sincerely forgive, if you don't get this revelation and live in this revelation and really, really forgive and let go, no matter what happened to you, you will be turned over by the Father himself to tormentors. How many know whatever happened to you is just not worth being turned over to tormentors for? Amen. It's just not worth it. It's like, yeah, but you don't know what, you know, I mean, we minister to some rough stuff. Amen. Greg would go, yes, she does, amen. Because I send it over, he goes, Greg! And he's like, no! I mean, really rough stuff. I'm talking about, I could tell you stuff Like, I'm like, oh, and the stuff people, the devil sets people up, especially people who had hurt childhoods and a lot of mess in the background and witchcraft in the background and even, you know, Satanism and all this garbage in the background. All this stuff is set up by the enemy. And then they get saved, kind of. And then they, you know, and then the devil stirs stuff and the mess happens. You're like, Lord, we fell in love with these people. Lord, you sent these people. How do we help them out of this mess? And God actually gives you ways to help people out of their mess. Amen? But the first way, the first thing that has to be done is you have to forgive anyone who has come against you. And you need to get real about this. You need to get real. If you still hold that little grudge we talked about, if there's still bitterness there, if you still can't talk about that person and act like they're a human being made in the image of God, you have not forgiven. You have not forgiven. It will stop you from being forgiven by God. It will stop you from having the healing that we can walk in as those who do not have unforgiveness in our hearts. You will not have God opening doors for you and making a way. How many know he's so faithful? He keeps working with you, right? He keeps working with you. He lets you hear this over and over. He'll bring you, he'll minister to you. God's idea of forgiveness. Okay, thank you, Lord. Well, I have forgiven. Okay. Let's put it this way. What if you are forgiven the exact same way you forgive? How many want God not really talking to them anymore? How many want God not trusting them with anything anymore? How many want God, he does call all the shots, but what if he called the shots from the wrong spirit the way you do? How many want God hanging it over your head all the time where you missed it and what you did wrong? How many can kind of see, maybe I haven't really forgiven? Amen. You know, when we did the teaching on grudge, I didn't realize that this one person in my family, I had just decided how the relationship was going to be. I was in charge of the relationship because of something this person did that was really rotten. And I'd have the relationship, and I wouldn't make anybody else want to not be a part of the relationship, and I would be okay and show up for the holidays. But I had purposely distanced myself from this person because, really, I did not like the junk going on in their lives. I did not like the way they treated people. I didn't like the way they backstabbed people. I became their little judge. And then the Lord began to deal with me about this grudge. And that's when we did the whole teaching on grudge, which you can find on somewhere on the website or the YouTube channel. Because you need to deal with, do you have that grudge? What's a grudge? You call the shots in the relationship. Well, I'll be friends with them, but who are you to put a but in there? Did God put a but in there for you? Amen? God didn't say, okay, well, I will save you and you get to come to heaven, but only if you blah, 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 blah. God doesn't put the but in there. He doesn't. He's either forgives you or he doesn't. And he says, if you forgive, you are forgiven. If you forgive, you are forgiven. If you judge, you're judged in the measure that you judge. We'll talk about that in another spiritual law. But we need to get down to real forgiveness. And we need to go deep and get the roots of bitterness out and all these other things out. Well, I'm not going to trust again. Then you haven't forgiven. You're calling the shots. And recognize God, that thing will come back to what? Turn you over to the tormentors. All of a sudden you'll get tormented, you'll get suspicious, you'll get paranoid, you'll get all these weird things happening where you were fine before. Right? It's not worth it, people. Well, I don't want to be hurt again. Well, tell God you don't want to be hurt again. And let him be in charge of that. And can I tell you something? You might get hurt again. What happens if you get hurt again? You forgive again. You get inner healing or whatever again. You get closer to God again. Amen? Amen. So who cares? You can't hurt me enough to mess with me. Because I belong to Jesus. You cannot hurt me enough. You cannot stab me in the back enough. You cannot talk trash about me enough. You cannot take my stuff. You cannot hurt me enough to mess with my life because my life is hidden in Christ Jesus. Somebody like, well, I'm going to try. Well, that's between you and God. There's been a lot of people who've tried Amen? Don't you want to be the one who's standing when it's all over? When the shaking comes, you're standing because you're hidden in Christ. You're standing because you're going to be like your heavenly Father. You're standing because you're going to have your flesh die and not give in to this nonsense that Satan's stirring up. Amen? You're going to love even when you're hated. And a big key to that is to forgive. To forgive. And there's no strings on forgiveness. Some of you haven't forgiven. The enemy loves to bring disease on people who haven't forgiven. A lot of cancer is caused because of bitterness that gets down inside of people's hearts and bitterness in different parts of their body that eventually gets into the physical realm. How many know, have you gone through anything that's worth going through chemo for? No. It's not worth it. The devil doesn't stop after he hurts you. He wants to grab you in that hate, in that hurt, and he wants to take it all the way to the physical realm and attack your body. How many know he is defeated? Amen? How many know he is under your feet? And I got to tell you guys, I've walked some of you through some major stuff, and yay, hurrah, you've done this thing. Praise God. And we're hoping that the people who are watching on Facebook Live or on the web or going to one of our, or hearing on the radio or whatever, or now we're on a podcast, oh, wherever we're at, that they'll catch this. Amen? That they'll catch this. I'm excited. I'm excited that 16,000 people watched us or heard us last month. That might not mean anything to you guys because we come here and if we have 70 people, we have a party. I mean, gosh, when all 200 chairs fill up, I'm just not even going to know what to do with myself. But it's exciting to me to know that God is getting his message out, whether people want to drive this far or this close or not. Amen? Because it's powerful. Because what he's doing is powerful. Forgiveness is powerful. Forgiveness sets you free. Because you haven't put them in bondage anyway. Whew. People do not put you in bondage. You agree with the devil against people, and that puts you in bondage. People cannot put you in bondage. You agree against people and agree with the devil. Agreement with the devil puts you in bondage. Agreement with the devil puts you in bondage. Let's go back and look at a few more scriptures on forgiveness. You see, when Jesus forgives sin, let me just go to Mark 2:10, go to 2:7. Go all the way up. This is too good. I want you to see the connection between sin and sickness. Mark 2:2, and at once many were gathered so as none were any longer to get in the room, not even to the door. And Jesus spoke the word to them. And they came to him carrying a paralytic, somebody who's paralyzed, a paralytic, and four people carried him in. And not being able to draw near to Jesus due to how big the crowd were, they actually, it says, unroofed the roof where he was. They dug through the roof and they lowered the cot on which the paralytic was lying. And Jesus, seeing their faith, how many know we can have faith for our friends? How many know it would be cool to mature enough to have faith for our friends? How many know we have come in agreement with so many people in this place and so many people who have called this ministry, and we come in agreement with faith. Not fear, but faith. Faith for what God's promised them. Faith for what they're going through. And so we see here, Jesus is impressed with that, okay? Jesus sees their faith because they're helping put this guy down through the roof. And Jesus says to the man, "Child, your sins are forgiven to you." And then some of the scribes are sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. And I love this because Jesus knows what we're thinking. And sometimes when you get in the anointing, you know what people are thinking. And they're thinking, they're reasoning in their hearts. Why did this one speak blasphemies this way? Who is able to forgive sins except only one, God? And instantly knowing in his spirit that they reasoned this way within themselves, Jesus said to them, "Why do you reason these things in your hearts?" So God really does know our thoughts, and the Holy Spirit knows our thoughts, and the Holy Spirit can reveal our thoughts if he wants to bring a rebuke, a correction, or direction into our lives. Amen? And Jesus says to him, "Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Rise up and take your cot and walk'?" So that you may know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins on the earth, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, rise up, take up your cot, and go to your house. And at once he rose up, and taking his cot, he went out before all. And they were astonished and glorified God, saying, never did we see something like this. So we're watching Jesus bring healing. We're watching Jesus move in this power. And he forgave their sins. Now, he didn't get into what the guy's sin was, did he? But they're all sitting there amazed that he's forgiven this guy his sin. Like, who does he think he is? God. And then he proves it, because now the person cannot stay paralyzed, because the sin that opened the way to the physical paralyzing of their body was now out of the picture, and the person could rise up and walk. Amen? So we need an entire teaching on healing, don't we? Jesus' way. All right. So forgiveness will stop sickness. Forgiveness is key in living in divine health. Forgiveness is key in breaking free from having to need all your medications and all your doctor appointments and all your things you go to and all the pills you take and all the mess. Amen? Forgiveness is a beginning place, and dealing with that and getting rid of bitterness is a really beginning place for being healthy. All right. Let's see where we're at. Okay, Luke 6:37. This is powerful. We're not going to get into all of this because there's a whole teaching on judging. But I want you to see this. Judge not in any way. This is Jesus giving us more spiritual law. Judge not in any way, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Okay? So once again, I'm not getting all the parables because you could preach this for a long time. We're going to keep these at an hour. So how many kind of get it? Forgiveness is really vital. Let me see if there's anything we haven't quite covered on this. All right, this is a powerful one. Let's go to this. Luke 23:34. Now this is one of the biggest keys, and we talked about this last week, but this is a major revelation to help you to forgive. So this is at the crucifixion. If you study the crucifixion, they've beaten Jesus almost to the point of death. They've disfigured him. They've pulled out his beard. They put thorns in his head, in a crown on his head of thorns. They have made him walk. They've hit him. They made him carry a heavy cross. And now they get to the place where he's going to the cross. Luke 23:33. And when they came on the place being called the skull, they crucified him. And the criminals there, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing, even as they begin to divide his garments, as they cast a lot. Okay, and we have a lot of teaching on the cross that you can get on online, some really powerful teaching. I said to God, and there's other scriptures of the Gospels where it talks about the same situation. And so I said to the Lord, and I know people if they've heard this, but this is it. This is a key. This is a key revelation to help you forgive. Jesus says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And they knew they were killing him, right? Everybody knew what the word crucify meant. Maybe there's a little child in the audience who didn't know. But overall, everyone knew, crucify him, meant kill him. Amen? They knew when they wanted the horrific murderer released instead of Jesus, that they were saying, we want him dead. When they were stirred up by the enemy to scream, to want Jesus to go to the cross. So this whole time there was a stirring in the spirit realm to put Jesus on that cross and to kill him. Amen? And they came in agreement with the enemy that was stirring them. And they're like, yeah, let's do this. Kill him, crucify him. So when Jesus says, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing, you have to say, wait a minute. And this is how I talk to God. I'm like, wait a minute. They knew what they were doing, and you're not a man that you can lie. So how could you say they don't know what they're doing when I know they know what crucifying you means? So what are you talking about? And that's how you get a revelation. When you ask, seek, and knock, and you see things in Scripture, and you're like, wait a minute, this doesn't really make sense. I'm not going to read this like a cute little book. I'm going to read this like the Word of God and ask the Holy Spirit to give me revelation. What were you talking about, Jesus? If you want to know what Jesus was talking about, how about ask Jesus? Amen? So, Jesus, what do you mean? What do you mean? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You know they knew what they were doing, but you couldn't. But you, what are you talking about? And that's when Jesus told me, that's when the Holy Spirit revealed, they do not understand the spiritual side of what happens on the earth. They don't understand. And you can go and hear the spiritual side of what happened when my daughter died on my on YouTube, I think, and I know on our webpage, and it's called The Spiritual Side of Tragedy. Holy Spirit showed me what went on in the spirit realm that set up for my daughter to die when the tree branch hit her in front of me. And he will reveal what goes on in the spirit realm if you ask him to, and if you're open to it, and he'll back it up with scripture, amen? And so I'm like, Lord, so Jesus was able to forgive because they did not understand spiritual law. They did not understand all the things that Satan had done in their lives from the moment of conception, generational curses, stirring them, man-pleasing, following the crowd, all these things that fit in. They did not understand how each one individually had been messed with by the devil their whole lives to get them to that place of screaming as loud as they could to kill Jesus. Now, you think you wouldn't go along with that? Outside of God's grace, we probably would have been right there screaming. Isn't that horrible? You know, if you don't believe it, look at the what we call fake news and how many people agree with everything they hear and act like it's true and push all this stuff. Jesus was falsely accused, but those people believed it. Amen? And boy, that's another whole teaching. We'll have to do that one on a Facebook live little presentation. You'll have to go watch these. There's just not enough time. And so God began to give me a revelation that helps everyone to forgive. Everyone. And that's what Jesus was able to do. On that cross, he recognized that these human beings, made in his image and his likeness, that his Father created to be in his family, that would be his beloved one day if they accepted him as Lord, that these human beings, with every bit of hatred that Satan could stir inside of them, every evil thing that's ever happened to them, every bad thought he could put in their head, everything they ever watched of evil, everything the enemy's ever been planted in them at that time, every bit of jealousy, every bit of following the group, every bit of going along with the religious, you know, big guys, every bit of man-pleasing, everything he had worked into them, every bit of it, stirred until a frenzy of a crowd said, crucify him. That's why I really encourage you, get out of the frenzy of what the enemy's stirring up against our president. Get out of the frenzy of what the enemy's stirring up against our nation. Get out of it. Deal with your past. Deal with the hurt places so you don't fall into the trap of coming against what God is in. Amen? Or doing, even if God's not in something, he wants you to handle it the way he tells you to handle it in scripture. And the way it's being handled is not biblical in a lot of situations. Amen? But people are blind. They can't even see what God is doing. These people were blind. They could not see who Jesus was any longer. They couldn't understand what he was. They made up their own mind how he had to do it. He had to bring himself off the cross. If he's really God, let him prove it. And they got drawn into this. And so when Jesus says, Father, forgive them, they don't know what the enemy's doing. They don't understand how they've been set up. They don't understand what's going on in the spirit realm. They don't understand the cross. Forgive them. Now, you take the situation. Now Satan knew. Satan knew he was doomed. Amen? Does everybody get it? Satan, who was Lucifer, really knows how powerful God is. And he knows his time is short. And he actually believes the word. And he actually only tries to come into our lives to do the things that Jesus left a question mark. Jesus himself said, will I find faith when I return? The enemy's like, let me steal their faith. Let me make sure that there's no faith when he returns. See, the enemy knows this stuff. The enemy knows, if they don't forgive, then the Father can't forgive them. Let's do some horrifically horrible stuff to make it almost impossible for them to forgive so they can live in torment, maybe not ever get saved. Amen? And so Jesus took all that, he paid all that, and then he gave us this powerful truth, this revelation, the spiritual law that everybody can apply, and you can look at whatever happened to you. And how many know whatever happened to us is a lot less than what happened to Jesus? Amen? But we can look at it. And some of you are like, yeah, but what happened to me is worse than what happened to you. And we already did a teaching last week on why bad things happen and why God doesn't stop it. So go back and listen to that teaching. Amen? But Jesus paid the price to heal you, no matter how bad it was. He paid the price to set you free before you were ever in bondage. And then it's your choice. And you will stand before God, especially if you've heard this truth. Amen? And you will have to give an account for why you chose not to forgive. You have to give an account why you chose to hang on to hate. You're going to have to give that account before God. Or you can stand before God and say, hey, well done, good and faithful servant. You caught it. You got the revelation. You released it. You're walking with me. You walked above it. You didn't walk down where Satan had you. Amen? How many want to overcome? What are we overcoming? The works of the enemy. We're overcoming his lies. We're overcoming. Jesus overcame that moment on that cross when he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Jesus was God. Jesus himself said he could have asked and angels by the thousands upon thousands would have come and it had been over for everybody attacking him. Amen. Jesus had at his disposal, so to speak, all the power needed to end every attack against him. And he chose not to use it. He chose to walk in love. He chose to trust the Father. He chose to pay the price so he could set us free. So when the Father says, if you don't forgive after what my son chose to do, after this powerful plan that we put together, because the Father and Son are one, and we're going to have some really good teaching coming up on that. God the Father, folks, he is not like this little, you know, Wizard of Oz kind of person. God is this all-consuming, powerful fire, and there is nothing outside of him, nothing. Quit saying he's in a box. He is the box. There's nothing outside of him, nothing outside of him. Nothing exists that doesn't exist because he made it exist. Nothing, not a thing. He is everything. He is so mighty. So when this powerful, mighty God comes forth as his son and takes on flesh and goes through the humility of being a man or a woman, a person, goes through from being God to being in flesh is humiliating, humbling. And goes through the humiliation that the enemy puts on him and the torture and the pain and everything he went through. And yet, through all of it, he kept loving and loving and loving and loving. The key to overcoming is to love when you're hated. Jesus loved when he was hated by everyone. And he never, ever, ever let evil into his heart. That's when he overcame. That's when he overcame for us. That's when he overcame the world. That's when he overcame the world. Doesn't the Bible say he overcame the world and that he gives us his authority to overcome? That's when he overcame the world. And the Father says, you had better come in alignment with what my son did. And you had better do what he did. And you had better forgive them. Because this is a spiritual battle, and it's a battle that belongs to the Lord. Amen? So what we're going to do in the last few minutes, and then you're going to get in groups and really deal with this, what God puts on your heart. And we've done this a lot at Beauty Freshness. Amen? This is one of the revelations that has healed and helped so many people walk in victory. I'm serious. Raise your hand if this revelation, you've heard it before, has really, really helped you get past things. Raise your hands. Look how many. It's just like, it's so powerful to really be able to forgive. Now, some people have never had anything really extremely painful happen to them that you couldn't just forgive by, okay, I just forgive them. I mean, somebody said, I just forgive them, they were a nut, or I just forgive them, they didn't know what they were doing because you think they're not quite sane. Amen? But there are people here, there are people in this room who were sexually abused by people who should have given them protection, people who should have taken care of them. There are people in this room who are abused by their own parents. There are people in this room who were cursed at, beaten. There are people in this room who have done horrific things. There are people in this room who absolutely have done horrible things to their own children. There are people in this room who have done horrible things to their parents. There's people in this room who have done horrible things to people who love them. Guess who you had better forgive? Yourself. You had better forgive yourself. The Jesus who hung on that cross and says, forgive them, they don't know what they were doing, that grace goes right to you. 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 And if somebody else doesn't extend that grace to you, that's between them and God, and they're going to be turned over to the tormentors and not you. Amen? That's good preaching. You've got to take and extend that grace to you. If you've had an abortion, which is a horrifically horrible thing to do, God says, forgive yourself. Don't blame everybody else. Forgive the people, forgive the guy who was involved. Forgive the doctor who was involved. Forgive everybody you need to, forgive the parents who weren't supportive. Whatever, forgive, right? But forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. You're like, that's horrible. Don't you understand that's what forgiveness is about? Forgiveness isn't about stuff that's just okay. Forgiveness is about the horrible stuff that somebody else did to you, and it's about the horrible stuff that you've done. Amen? Amen. Okay, get this. If you don't forgive yourself, the Father won't forgive you. If you don't forgive yourself, the Father won't forgive you. Is there anybody in here who definitely wants to go to hell and say, sorry, Jesus, I know you paid for it. I know you suffered for it. I know you made a way for me to get out of it. But do you know what? I'm just not going to take your way of escape, because it's really not fair that he paid for us, is it? Isn't it? Everybody crying out for justice? Get over it. I'm not trying to Jesus paid, people. Jesus paid. Jesus paid. Amen. Jesus paid. He's not asking anybody else to pay. He's paid. He's asking us to forgive. I'm not saying we have the right to protest in a way that doesn't come against somebody else's rights. We have the right to protest in a way that doesn't touch anybody else's rights. Amen? Amen? Amen. You have a right, women, to make choices about your body as long as it doesn't kill a baby. Then you just cross over from your rights into affecting somebody else's rights. Amen? You have to forgive yourself. You know, when I've talked to women who've aborted their babies, and when they found God and they really saw how horrible it was, they were able to forgive other people pretty easy. But forgiving themselves, I mean, they're married women, husbands and wives who choose to have an abortion because it's not a convenient time, according to them, to have a baby. That's from a spirit of greed and selfishness. And then it just tears everything apart. But they can actually sit there and forgive. How do you forgive yourself? The same way you forgive others that Jesus just taught us on the cross. Father, I didn't know the spiritual side to this. I didn't understand the setups of the enemy. I didn't understand how I was a puppet used by the enemy. I didn't understand how this thing was sown into my life by the enemy. I didn't understand that part of it. I knew what I was doing was wrong. Amen? Those people crucifying him knew it was wrong, okay? So when Jesus says they don't know what they're doing, that same not knowing what you're doing applies to you. Do you know the only people who cannot be forgiven are those who blaspheme? Why? Because they know what they're doing. Because you can't even blaspheme until you've tasted and understood the spiritual realm and how it operates. That's another whole teaching. Wow. So we're going to get in groups in a little bit. I encourage you guys at home. I hope you have groups. I hope you get this teaching and bring some people around. I want you to take some time, and I want you to talk about who you still have a hard time forgiving. I want you to talk about what you can't forgive in your own life and how you need to forgive that. We'll do an altar call thing and an inner healing thing, even though we're going over a little bit. But I always say, sometimes, especially if this is new teaching to you, you really got to get in the scriptures. You really got to make this real. This isn't like a fast food chain, a beauty for ashes. Amen? And many of us have walked in this for years and years. But I do want to put that there's some people who are ready. Some people are like, don't leave me like this. I want that. I want that healing. I want to forgive. So if everybody could close their eyes and let's just pray. And if you're in agreement, say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for not forgiving myself, for not forgiving others, Father, I ask you to forgive me for holding on to unforgiveness, even towards myself. What great mercy you extended when you forgave me. When Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He was talking about the time that I did that sin, that I hurt those people, that the enemy has tormented me about. And I see today that if I will receive that forgiveness and agree with it, that I'm forgiven because I didn't understand what the enemy was up to. I didn't understand all of this. And I forgive myself. And I forgive everyone who's ever hurt me, spoke against me, came against me, because I understand that they did not know the spiritual stuff that was going on from before they were even born. And so I choose to separate that person made in the image of God that belongs in the hands of God from those demonic spirits that operated in their life that stirred up this plan that attacked me. I thank you, God, that every one of those spirits is eternally damned, and you made hell for them. But God, you never wanted any to perish. And so, God, I agree with you. You paid so that none had to perish. And I break the power of keeping myself chained to the enemy, to the tormentors, through unforgiveness. And I break the power of unforgiveness in the name of Jesus, because of the blood of Jesus, because of the mercy of my Father, because of the love of God. I break the power of unforgiveness in Jesus' name. And I ask that every bitter root be pulled up in Jesus' name, that my life does not defile other people any longer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, if you love this teaching, and you better say you love this teaching, then we want you to check out our web at beautyforashes.org. There is so much teaching there, and there's a resource library there. And also, check out my Facebook page at Cindy Foster Beauty for Ashes Ministry. We'd love you to partner with us and come along for the ride into the apostolic. God bless you.